And let's see. Okay, I have to say hi, Anna. It's really good to see you. Back in, let's see, about June 2010, we began to pull together a survey at the Louisiana Bucket Brigade that was going to be done in partnership with Patagonia. And so that's what my talk today is going to be about, is going over some of the methodology behind doing the survey, and then just some of the basic results that we came up with, and then some of the thoughts going forward. So Daniel Broy, who's obviously not here, and myself were two of the main project organizers for Louisiana Bucket Brigade, and obviously I don't work for them anymore, but I'm speaking on their behalf, as well as the Tulane University Disaster Resilience Leadership Academy, as well as Payson Center for International Development, who are also part of the project. Okay, so as I was saying, we began the survey in June, developing it. At the time, Louisiana Bucket Brigade and Tulane were working on the oil spill crisis map, which is the image right here, which was a way to allow residents on the Gulf Coast to be able to transparently report what was happening through their perspective, whether it was health effects, whether it was odors they were smelling, whether it was effects to wildlife that they were seeing, oiled coastlines, etc. So with that partnership, we added in Patagonia Clothing Company, who is actually a longtime funder of the Louisiana Bucket Brigade. But instead of giving the organization money, they wanted to send volunteers. So one of the interesting parts about their model is that they do what their employees want them to do. So their employees were saying, hey, you know, we need to get involved in the spill. There weren't a lot of ways for volunteers at the time to get involved, and so we figured this would be a really great time to develop a baseline survey. So the Bucket Brigade saw that there was a gap in the baseline information and a concentration on public health, and thus decided to focus energies here. So the purpose of the study when we were developing this was really to be able to give it back to the people that took the time to do the survey with us. So if they wanted to write letters to officials, if they wanted to advocate for health facilities or health coverage, health practitioners in the Gulf Coast area, or if they wanted to do fundraising on behalf of their own organization, that was really what we wanted people to be able to do with this. And then the goals of the study were to gain insight into the extent of the health and economic impacts. So that's another portion, although I'm only going to talk about the health side of it. We also had a pretty strong economic component to the survey. And then as well to serve as a pilot for survey methods within communities affected by environmental toxics. So some basic things about our methodology. We saw this as a first-pass survey of seven selected communities, and I'll show you a map in a moment. It was really important for us to identify some caveats associated with the study because we knew there was going to be tons of them. So some of them that we identified before we even began were people that were employed by BP and contractors, the hurricanes that had come in and out of the region in the last decade that people were still recovering from, language barriers. We have a very large Vietnamese community, and we did not have Vietnamese speakers that worked with the survey. Petrochemical plants in communities. Obviously, Louisiana has a lot of refineries, and some of them are within Plaquemines and St. Bernard, which are two of the communities that we worked in, as well as length of the survey period. It was dispersed between July and October, and then living and working locations. We found that a lot of people were coming in from outside of the areas that we were actually surveying in. So then we developed the survey to include both economic and health questions, which were quantitative and qualitative. I'm from a social science background, and so we asked people that were actually giving the survey to also do some narrative development with people. And then the project was managed by three people, two from lab and one from Tulane, and we would have seven teams of 10 people from Patagonia over the course of the survey period. So these are this is the survey tool that we used, and the different components were demographic information, believed exposure, information about health insurance, who had health insurance, the types of symptoms that people experienced, severity of symptoms, medical treatment, over-the-counter medication use, and then also our economic impact questions. So this is our survey map of the communities that we worked in. Over here we have what is called very generally, and I'll refer to throughout, as the St. Bernard Group, but it included select communities further east in St. Bernard, including Wycloski and Hopedale, as well as down into Plaquemines, which is Phoenix. We did a segment of North Plaquemines from Port Sulphur to Burris, and so I'll refer to that. Oops, how do I go back? There we go. I'll refer to that as North Plaquemines, and then we did Burris down to Venice, which is referred to as South Plaquemines. We did Grand Isle area, Lafitte, Cocodrie, primarily. Cocodrie and Chauvin, if you've ever been to that area, kind of merged together. And then we also did Duloc. And just to note as well with this, some of the communities such as Lafitte and Duloc were conscious decisions, and we made them that they're a bit more internal and not as close to the site, so they would give us another perspective on, you know, communities that weren't directly on the coast necessarily. Other reasons that we decided to work in these areas were there were some prior bucket brigade relationships. Before we had started the survey, they had been identified as a spill-affected community. The location scouting for housing with our surveyors was a really big concern, so we needed to make sure that there were places people could stay in these communities, and then also logistical feasibility of being able to run surveys in these areas. Okay. So finally, with methodology, we worked on the analysis. It was done primarily by an MPH student at LSU. And Bucket Brigade. And, you know, we worked under the assumption that a smaller fraction is representative of a larger population, although, of course, we recognize that in some circumstances, smaller populations will show characteristics that can potentially be erroneous. We also did a lot of discussion about uncertainty and possibility, possible sources of error. So things that could include a co-founding factor like seasonal allergies and the symptoms reported, bias that could be introduced through requesting people to recall information, underrepresentation of some groups because of fear of losing jobs because they're contracted by BP or another subcontractor. And also, we allow people to give no response. If they wanted to give answers to some questions and not to others, that was perfectly fine. So after we wrote up the results, we held community meetings in each of the communities that we worked in public locations like a museum, a community center, libraries, and then we did the final media release. So this is where our surveys took place. We collected 954 of them. And we worked from July 26th through October 1st. We did it in two-week blocks, primarily because there was three people working on this in Louisiana, and we needed a break, and to be able to kind of recap and reconfigure if things hadn't gone quite right in the weeks before. So in the next section, I just wanted to go over some specific sites, looking at primarily Plaquemines North and Plaquemines South. And then after that, I'll look at a seven-site comparison and go over some of the numbers from that. So in Plaquemines North, we had 142 surveys done. In Plaquemines South, 199. There were 12 surveyors working in each of the locations. And in the North, we worked from August 2nd through the 6th, and in the South from September 27th through October 1st. The population characteristics, and this was the same pretty much over every single area that we were in. Most of the people were permanent residents. And also, worked outside. So in Plaquemines North, about 47%, I'm sorry, all the graphs on the left-hand side are the north and all are on the right-hand side are the south. So Plaquemines North, 47% worked outside, and in Plaquemines South, 54% were working outside. In terms of health insurance, overall, about in all the areas, about half of the people were insured. In Plaquemines North, about 50%. In Plaquemines South, about 57%. And overall, in Plaquemines North and South, over half the people believe that they had been exposed to either crude oil, Crexit, or both. In terms of both, about 30% in the north and 41% in the south felt that they had been exposed to both. For symptoms, 54% in the north and 66% in the south reported at least one symptom. And this was higher than most of the other locations. Reasons for that could have been that it was obviously closer to the spill site. The majority in the north reported that they had one symptom, and in the south they reported that they had two symptoms. And the types of symptoms in both locations included coughing, difficulty breathing, sinus, eye, and headache as the top four reported in each area. And in terms of over-the-counter medication use, and this was very similar to the other areas that we did the survey in, cough, cold, or allergy was the medicine that was most used over-the-counter. Second in the south was gastrointestinal medicine, and second in the north was eye medicine. Okay. And so with the overall comparison of the seven sites, some of the basic trends, you know, included that exposure and symptoms were obviously higher in areas closer to the site. Symptoms reports tended to be ones that would be associated with exposure, meaning sudden onset. Respiratory coughing, eye and nose problems, as well as headaches were consistently reported. But we do, as I mentioned earlier, note that these are also things that were shared with seasonal allergies or heat fatigue, which were also complaints that were very actively noted during those times. And these were things I think that everybody sort of expected to see within the results of the survey as well. So the first chart is a comparison of the exposures. 46% of people believe that they, and this is overall, believed exposure to crude oil or dispersants or both. And this ranged from 23.6% in Duloc to 61.8% in Plaquemines South. 47.8% of people noted an increase in at least one symptom. And then 71% of those people who believe they had been exposed also reported one symptom. And 72.4% who reported no exposure also reported no symptom. And so this can show us that there is accuracy in what people were reporting potentially. Okay, the comparisons of symptoms, 47.8% of people reported abnormal increase in at least one symptom. Of those, 15% consulted a medical professional, and the highest increases were in coughing, difficulty breathing at 27.4%, eye irritation at 23.2%, headaches at 26%, and sinus or nose irritation at 27%. When looking at exposures versus symptoms, 45% reported being exposed, like I noted. 71% of those also reported one symptom. Again, both Plaquemines locations, St. Bernard locations, and Grand Isle had the highest exposure symptom correlation, while Cocodrie, Duloc, and Lafitte were all just above 50%. In terms of severity of symptoms, when asked to classify symptoms as sudden or severe or chronic and constant, all except gastrointestinal, heartburn, and asthma were listed most often as sudden and severe. Treatment sought. Overall, out of all the seven communities, approximately on average about 57.3% were insured or listed that they had health care. Of this, 14.8% of respondents who reported an exposure also reported seeking treatment for the exposures. 31% sought treatment for their symptoms. Treatment for exposures ranged from 4.3% in Lafitte to 23.1% in St. Bernard, and treatment for symptoms ranged from 29.5% in Duloc to 36.8% in St. Bernard. Finally, about 31.1% of people had an increase in over-the-counter medication use in total. About 15.5% reported using eye medication more often than usual. 14.3% used gastrointestinal medication more often than usual. 22.2% used cough, cold, or allergy medicine more than usual. And 2.4% used a skin cream more than usual. And some of the recommendations related to health that we came up with after this study are things that I still think hold today. First one being creating access to long-term health care. And Anna Rybak, who's in the room, made a really great point when we were doing this survey about correlating this back to 9/11 responders. and how they had suffered from a lot of long-term exposures that hadn't been adequately addressed. And so in coming up with this, this was one of the considerations that we took into effect. Second was facilitate access to healthcare providers with experience diagnosing chemical exposure. There's a lack of medical personnel in the area that's trained to diagnose and treat health impacts of chemical exposure, very basically. There's also a lack of health facilities. So suggesting that a network of healthcare providers should be established, and until that would happen, to have mobile treatment units be available to residents was one of the recommendations. Continued access to mental health care, because obviously we didn't do questioning around mental health with this, but it's very evident not only during the survey, where a lot of our people that were out talking, you know, said that they felt like they ended up being a counselor, and that people were very gave so much gratitude for having someone just to talk to. But also in the work that I've been doing after working with the Louisiana Bucket Brigade, this has been something that's ongoing in terms of depression as well as domestic violence. Finally, establishment of ongoing public health surveillance. To be able to monitor clinical signs, which will alert practitioners of widespread health concerns, and be able to communicate clear and convincing evidence to the public regarding health threats. So these are the recommendations, but also things that we would want to point out for the next time that this happens, because as we all know, there will be a next time, whether it's in the Gulf Coast or elsewhere. Am I done? Okay. Finally, I just wanted to point out some challenges going forward, and this is things that I've noticed in the work that I've been doing over the last year. Obviously, ongoing health issues is still a big concern. There's challenges tracking the effects, and part of this is because there's somewhat of a diasporic movement of where workers are. The people that came for the VU program have gone back to their own communities, you know, those that came from North Carolina and the West. And so there hasn't been really an adequate effort to try to document what's happening with everybody. There's also no central place to go for assistance when it comes to health in regard to the oil spill, and also no direct health claims process. There is a claims process, obviously, but not one specifically concerned with health. One of the things that we've heard repeatedly is that there's researchers that are coming to the Gulf Coast and sampling populations with no clear feedback loop to communities. This could be from researchers coming and saying, I'd like to take a blood sample of you, and you know, community members not having a clue if they want to say yes because they're not given adequate information about it. And also, communities are unclear on how to use the sample results sometimes. People, what I've heard from the work I've been doing, are still unsure about if there is oil and dispersant in the Gulf. And a lot of times this is presenting a moral dilemma for people that are involved in the business of seafood selling. There's also carryover from storms. There's mistrust in the government and survey fatigue, which we very readily noted when we were doing this. And there's also a frustration of communities as money and energy is put towards research rather than care and providing health facilities and response going forward. And if you want to access the short version of the report, I'll leave this link up. If you have questions directly related to the information, you can let me know. And this is Anne from the Louisiana Bucket Brigade. If you have questions related to what Louisiana Bucket Brigade is doing with the survey or anything else, you can email her.
Thank you.
Welcome.